This is an AudioTeach audio. Find out more at audioteach.com. The Perilous Journey, the Complicated Production Process and Perilous Journey of Testosterone. The point from when your hypothalamus tells the endocrine system to make testosterone until the point your alpha hormone lands on cell receptors to deliver its masculinizing program is an extremely complicated and perilous journey. Once you understand and realize just how fragile the whole testosterone production process is, you will appreciate why it is so important to fight for and protect it. As we are about to discover, the creation of testosterone is a complicated process involving a great deal of building material and consisting of several steps. If any of the materials are missing or there are problems at any of these steps, your testosterone could suffer. We will stop along the way at each point in the production and delivery chain to examine the problems that could occur and the solutions for each. We won't be discussing anything that we cannot overcome with lifestyle changes, like physical trauma and defects, genetic defects, and diseases like diabetes and cancer, which are beyond the scope of this audio. Also, remember that individual responses vary, so do your research before you take any supplement mentioned here to make sure it is right for you. And if you are not sure, consult with a professional who is. It all starts in the brain. Step 1, the hypothalamus. Our journey begins in a part of your brain called the hypothalamus, the command center of your testosterone production process. It oversees the hypothalamic pituitary gonadal axis, hereinafter HPG, the system that controls testosterone production in guys. Think of your hypothalamus as the big boss that notices when your body needs more testosterone. When the boss decides you need more testosterone, it releases gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH, which then travels to the pituitary and stimulates it to secrete two hormones, luteinizing hormone, or LH, and follicle-stimulating hormone, FSH. These hormones travel down to your testicles. LH tells Leydig cells in the testes to trigger testosterone production, while FSH supports spermiogenesis. For testosterone production, we will only be discussing LH from here on. So, if the boss of the system is sick, your testosterone could suffer. The disruptions that can occur at the hypothalamus are: Number 1, endocrine disrupting chemicals, hereinafter EDCs. As you will soon see, these attack nearly every point in your testosterone production process. Avoiding these toxins must be a top priority. EDCs interfere with the release of GnRH, disrupt hormone receptors on the hypothalamus, and initiate epigenetic changes to hypothalamic genes that control hormone signaling. The HPG axis is like the thermostat in your house. It has sensors or feedback loops that tell the boss when more testosterone is needed, so production can be ramped up, or when there is plenty and production can slow down. There is a subclass of EDCs known as xenoestrogens. Estrogen-like chemicals mimic estrogen, short-circuiting the thermostat and tricking the boss into shutting down testosterone production. This is a big problem and one you should make note of. The xeno in xenoestrogens means they are foreign to your body and are nearly impossible to detect through standard blood tests that look for natural hormones like estradiol. When you get lab work done, the tests look for natural estradiol, the dominant estrogen in guys, not xenoestrogens. Your estradiol numbers may look normal, but what about the fake estrogen hormones that weren't tested for? Remember, when it comes to lab tests, if it's not tested for, you won't find it. As a testosterone warrior, you need to start thinking of these invaders as enemy combatants and start doing all that you can to keep them out of your body. It's important to note here that all xenoestrogens are EDCs because they disrupt hormone function, but not all EDCs are xenoestrogens because many EDCs affect other hormones besides estrogen. In the audio, we will discuss each of these testosterone-damaging chemicals briefly, but in the resources, you will find prompts that will generate detailed descriptions and ways to not only avoid, but remove them from your body. Here's a list of the worst, because not only are they endocrine-disrupting chemicals, but they are also xenoestrogens. Bisphenol A. BPA directly binds to estrogen receptors and mimics estrogen activity. It is arguably the most notorious and widely studied EDC, found in polycarbonate plastics and food can linings. So, avoid these things and the foods or drinks they contain, namely bottled water. Cash register thermal receipts are a huge source of BPA exposure because it absorbs through your skin when they are handled. BPA mimics estrogen by binding to estrogen receptors, disrupting hormonal balance, even at extremely low doses. Needless to say, BPA is a powerful testosterone killer and something that should be avoided at all costs. Phylates. This class of plasticizers is used to make plastic flexible and is found in everything from toys to cosmetics to medical devices. Phylates are potent anti-androgens associated with reduced sperm quality, decreased testosterone, and metabolic dysfunction. Phylates are found in personal care products like deodorant, perfumes, hand and body lotion, shampoo, and other cosmetics. When inhaled or absorbed through the skin, these sinister endocrine disruptors are even more harmful because they bypass the liver. Not only are phylates powerful endocrine disruptors, but they have also been linked to other serious health effects and should be avoided if you want healthy testosterone. Go to ewg.org/skindeep and look for the personal care products you use. If they have phylates, throw them out. Dioxins. Dioxins are highly toxic byproducts of industrial processes like chemical manufacturing and paper bleaching, and can exhibit estrogenic activity through multiple pathways. Dioxins are fat-soluble toxins that accumulate in animal fat, and over 90% of human exposure comes from animal-based foods, especially fatty cuts of meat, dairy, and fish. Grass-fed and non-factory-farmed animals generally have lower levels of dioxins, but the difference isn't always dramatic, and it depends on the specific farming practices and environmental factors. So choose leaner cuts of meat, trim visible fat, and avoid overcooking meat because charred fat contains higher dioxin levels. Opt for grass-fed, grass-finished, organic, and pasture-raised when possible, especially from clean environments. Polychlorinated bisphenols, or PCBs. PCBs are industrial chemicals once used in electrical equipment, plastics, and coolants that were banned in many countries since the 1970s, but still persist in the environment. PCBs can still be found in pre-1980s building materials like paints, sealants, and caulking that accumulate in fat tissues, being mainly found today in fatty farm-raised fish, which is something a testosterone warrior should never eat. Organochlorines, DDT and DDE. These are classic xenoestrogens that strongly mimic estrogen, and although DDT has been banned in many countries, its metabolite, DDE, remains persistent in the environment and human tissue. These chemicals disrupt estrogen and androgen pathways, affecting reproductive development and function. Atrazine. This xenoestrogen is doubly insidious because not only does it mimic estrogen, but it also increases aromatase activity, converting androgens to estrogens. The kicker here is that this endocrine system poison is still a widely used agricultural herbicide in the United States today. Drinking water is a major route of exposure in agricultural areas, especially if you live in the Midwest. Always opt for local, organically grown produce if possible. And remember that atrazine is just one of the many sides, like herbicides, insecticides, and pesticides, you want to keep out of your body. By the way, the organic label is not perfect, but people who say organic is not worth the cost don't know what they're talking about. Remember that there are thousands of rogue chemicals in our environment, many of which that have never even been studied for human safety, so we don't really know how many endocrine disrupting chemicals there are. And if I listed all of the known EDCs, this audio would take a couple of weeks just to get through. These six xenoestrogens are generally considered the worst, but also the ones that, if you try, can be eliminated or at least greatly reduced from your life, fighting off the alien invaders that are damaging your endocrine system should be your number one priority, not trying to squeeze more testosterone out of a sick, poisoned endocrine system with supplements or other substances you see peddled all over the internet today. It wouldn't be so bad if the toxic chemicals we discussed that are invading our environment helped us pack on lean body mass, feel more confident, and be inspired to do great things. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. The bad stuff that gets in us and messes with our hormones is always estrogenic in nature. Remember this, and it's important. Cultivating a healthy, robust endocrine system, which benefits all your hormones, not just testosterone, should be the foundation of your strategy to increase your testosterone. Avoidance and removal of EDCs from your body is a pillar in the foundation of testosterone production, because EDCs are a major reason guys today have failing testosterone levels. 2. Alcohol, prescription, and other party drugs. Chronic drug abuse can damage the hypothalamus and disrupt the entire endocrine system. When you party hard, not only do you add the usual endocrine disrupting chemicals to your body, for example, beer can contain glyphosate and bisphenol A, but you also have the negative effect of the drug, like alcohol, affecting not only your hypothalamus, but your entire endocrine system. For example, alcohol suppresses luteinizing hormone, LH, production, impairs growth hormone release, and damages both the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. Listen, most of us like to party once in a while and have some fun, but if you're a drunk or addicted to drugs, trying to improve the health of your endocrine system will be a losing battle. 3. Chronic psychological stress. Cortisol suppresses GnRH release from the hypothalamus and reduces LH production from the pituitary gland. This creates a direct negative feedback loop that can suppress testosterone production by 10 to 50%, depending on the severity and duration of the stress. Simply put, if you are stressed out or anxious all the time, successful testosterone modulation is not possible. So, what are the solutions here? Stress management techniques such as meditation, adequate sleep, and relaxation practices help restore normal cortisol rhythms and reduce inhibitory effects of chronic stress on the HPG axis. Studies show that guys who practice regular stress management have significantly higher testosterone levels and better overall hormone balance compared to chronically stressed individuals. Ashwagandha. Ashwagandha reduces cortisol levels, and clinical studies show ashwagandha can increase testosterone levels by 10 to 22% in stressed out individuals. Stress kills your testosterone production, pure and simple. Avoid it at all costs. Avoiding stress and chilling out is a pillar in the foundation of testosterone production. 4. Sleep deprivation. Adequate sleep plays a critical role in maintaining the proper function of the HPG axis by supporting the brain's internal circadian rhythms, which govern hormone secretion cycles. The release of GnRH from the hypothalamus occurs in a pulsing manner, influenced by the body's sleep-wake cycle and circadian clock. This pulsing is essential for stimulating the pituitary to release luteinizing hormone in appropriate patterns that regulate reproductive function. Sleep deprivation or poor sleep quality can disrupt this rhythm, leading to irregular GnRH pulses and altered LH secretion, which may impair testosterone production. We'll talk more about sleep later because it is one of the pillars of healthy testosterone production. 5. Severe caloric restriction. Eating too few calories can suppress hypothalamic function. While intermittent fasting is one thing, it's well known that continued caloric restriction is not good for testosterone production because your hypothalamus, the boss of your testosterone production system, needs adequate fuel to regulate feedback loops and produce GnRH. 6. Electromagnetic frequencies. EMFs, like those from cell phones and Wi-Fi, could disrupt neuronal signaling that regulates hormone secretion. They say the science is still unclear here, but I think the EMF science today is a descendant of the tobacco science of the 1960s. So be mindful putting your phone in your front pocket next to your testicles or next to your ear when you talk. 7. Timidity. Lack of confidence may decrease your testosterone, largely through reduced hypothalamic signaling and higher cortisol release. On the other hand, confidence and competitiveness increase testosterone. Mind and emotions are a big deal for those seeking more testosterone. If you've been to my Audio Teach website, you'll know that this audio is found in my Mind Warrior Academy. Mind and how it affects our lives is of great interest to me, so we'll be talking much more about this in the Testosterone Warrior Lifestyle section. So what else can we do to influence step number one? High-intensity interval training and resistance training. Both of these workouts support testosterone production through multiple pathways in the HPG axis. These exercise modalities stimulate the hypothalamic level by increasing GnRH pulse frequency and amplitude. Both exercises also increase your human growth hormone. Supplements that can affect this step: zinc. At the hypothalamic level, zinc supports the production and release of GnRH. Zinc supplementation in deficient individuals can restore testosterone levels to normal within 2 to 6 months, making adequate zinc status fundamental for healthy HPG axis function. D-aspartic acid. DAA primarily works at the hypothalamic level by stimulating the release of GnRH from the hypothalamus. DAA accumulates in the hypothalamus and pituitary tissues and acts as a neurotransmitter that can trigger the release of these critical hormones. So let's review step one. What specifically affects the hypothalamus in this first step of the testosterone production process? Xenoestrogens, which are neurotoxic to your hypothalamus, stress and cortisol, poor sleep habits, drug abuse, EMFs like Wi-Fi antennas and cell phone signals. Your mindset, being timid and shy, is not a good mindset to express if you want high testosterone levels. So let's continue to the next step. If everything goes okay at this point, the boss pulses out some GnRH hormone, which travels to another part of your brain called the pituitary gland. This is about the size of a pea and sits just below the hypothalamus. So it's a short trip. Let's check it out. Step 2, the road between the hypothalamus and the pituitary. GnRH is secreted by neurons in the hypothalamus and travel to the pituitary through a very short, specialized blood vessel network called the hypothalamic hypophyseal portal system. This direct, short-path system is designed to protect GnRH from degrading in the general bloodstream. Transport of GnRH is vulnerable primarily due to its short half-life and dependence on precise timing. Direct complications during transport here are rare, unless there's vascular or structural damage. However, endocrine-disrupting chemicals can change the pituitary gland sensitivity to GnRH. This means that even if a normal amount of GnRH arrives, the pituitary may not respond properly. The solution? Declare war on EDCs. Step 3, the pituitary gland. If there are no endocrine-disrupting chemicals affecting the pituitary gland sensitivity to GnRH, it releases another hormone messenger called LH, luteinizing hormone. Xenoestrogens affect the pituitary and the release of LH mainly because of their influence on the release of GnRH from the hypothalamus. Supplements that have been shown to increase LH production. Ashwagandha. Ashwagandha reduces cortisol levels by normalizing the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is crucial because elevated cortisol directly suppresses LH production from the pituitary gland. Tongkat ali or longjack works primarily at the pituitary level by supporting healthy LH production and release. Research indicates this herb can increase LH levels, which directly stimulates testosterone production in the Leydig cells of the testes. Studies show Tongkat ali can increase total and free testosterone levels by 15 to 46% in guys with low baseline levels. Zinc. Here we see zinc once again at the pituitary level. Zinc supports the production and release of LH. Zinc deficiency can reduce LH levels, creating a cascade effect that further suppresses testosterone production. Zinc supplementation in deficient guys can restore testosterone levels to normal within 2 to 6 months, making adequate zinc status fundamental for healthy testosterone production. Vitamin D may enhance LH production by modulating gene expression in the hypothalamus and the pituitary. D-aspartic acid. DAA stimulates the release of LH from the pituitary. Research shows DAA supplementation can increase LH levels by 33% and testosterone by 42% in men with low baseline levels. Fenugreek. Fenugreek contains saponins that may inhibit enzymes that break down sex hormones, indirectly promoting LH release through feedback mechanisms. Forskolin. Forskolin activates an enzyme that increases CAMP levels, which can enhance LH secretion at the pituitary level. If all goes well at this point, the pituitary pulses out LH, which then begins its long journey down to your gonads. Step 4. The road from the pituitary to the gonads. Since LH travels via systemic circulation, anything that impairs your blood flow to the gonads can reduce its delivery, meaning exercise or anything to increase circulation may be beneficial at this step. EDCs typically do not block LH in the bloodstream directly, but they interfere with LH action at the gonads to alter receptor sensitivity. So in other words, when LH arrives at the gonads, it may not be able to deliver its message. Anything you can do to boost circulation will help LH have a free-flowing journey to your gonads. And what is the best thing you can do? Exercise. The human body loves to move. It's designed to move. And if you don't move it often, it will become stagnant, stiff, weak, and dysfunctional. For example, while your blood has a pump to move it around your body, the lymph system, your body's drainage and detox network, does not, and depends on the little shocks that occur when you move around to keep it flowing and working properly. Movement is a foundational pillar of a healthy endocrine system and testosterone production. Step 5, the gonads, your testosterone-producing factories. After the trip from your head down to your testicles, if LH is able to deliver its message, that message tells your testosterone-fabricating Leydig cells to start making more testosterone. Think of your testicles as a little, big, testosterone factory that has workers called Leydig cells. At this stage, there are several things that could interrupt the production process at the factory. Remember, we are not discussing genetic defects, physical injury or defects, or serious disease, only things you can influence through lifestyle choices. Number 1, xenoestrogens and other EDCs. As we are seeing, endocrine disrupting chemicals wreak havoc all along the testosterone production line, and especially here at your testosterone factory. They directly inhibit Leydig cell testosterone synthesis. They disrupt stereogenic enzyme function. They are in microplastics, which accumulate in the testicles, leaching BPA and phthalates that act as xenoestrogens. They damage Leydig cell structure and function. And they interfere with cholesterol transport into mitochondria, slowing production. Number 2, lack of raw materials. Every factory needs an ample supply of raw materials for production, and your gonads are no different. We will talk diet soon, but whatever you do, make sure you are getting these critical ingredients absolutely required to produce testosterone. Whatever diet you decide upon, always assure you provide your testosterone factory with the raw materials it needs to produce testosterone. Cholesterol. Cholesterol serves as the fundamental precursor molecule for all steroid hormones, including testosterone, making it essential at the gonadal level of testosterone synthesis. The rate-limiting step in testosterone production is the transport of cholesterol into the mitochondria via stereogenic acute regulatory protein in the Leydig cells. Adequate cholesterol availability is absolutely necessary for optimal testosterone synthesis, and very low cholesterol levels can significantly impair hormone production. So, yes, cholesterol is good for you. Vitamin D3. Vitamin D3 functions as a steroid hormone that directly supports testosterone production at the gonadal level. You have vitamin D receptors in your testicular tissue, particularly in the Leydig cells. Vitamin D3 can increase the expression of enzymes involved in testosterone biosynthesis and may enhance responsiveness of Leydig cells to LH stimulation. Epidemiological studies consistently show a positive correlation between vitamin D status and testosterone levels, with vitamin D deficiency associated with 20 to 30% lower testosterone. So, yes, sunshine is good for you. Zinc. Zinc is essential for testosterone production at multiple points in the HPG axis, but its most critical role occurs at the gonadal level, where it serves as a cofactor for enzymes involved in testosterone synthesis. Zinc deficiency directly impairs the activity of an enzyme required for testosterone biosynthesis in the Leydig cells. Even mild zinc deficiency can reduce testosterone levels by 25 to 40%. Magnesium. Magnesium supports testosterone production through multiple mechanisms within the HPG axis. At the gonadal level, magnesium serves as a cofactor for enzymes and is essential for optimal testicular function. Magnesium deficiency can directly impair testosterone synthesis in Leydig cells and reduce overall testicular health. Amino acids, and especially D-aspartic acid. At the gonadal level, DAA accumulates in the testicular tissue, where it may directly stimulate testosterone synthesis and improve sperm quality. However, the effects appear to be most pronounced in men with initially low testosterone levels, with some studies showing diminishing returns or even negative effects in men with normal baseline testosterone levels. In other words, DAA supplementation works best for deficiency, not boosting already high levels, at least not for any length of time. Copper is essential for the proper function of enzymes that catalyze key steps in testosterone biosynthesis within the Leydig cells. However, copper requires careful balance, as both deficiency and excess can negatively impact testosterone production. Copper also supports overall testicular health by serving as a cofactor for an important antioxidant enzyme that protects testicular tissue from oxidative damage. The relationship between copper and testosterone is complex, as copper excess can promote inflammation and potentially compete with zinc absorption, while adequate copper status is necessary for optimal enzyme function. B vitamins. B vitamins, particularly B6, B12, and folate, are essential cofactors in testosterone production within the gonads. These vitamins support the enzymatic pathways that convert cholesterol to testosterone, with B6 playing a crucial role in the synthesis of steroid hormones by facilitating proper enzymatic function. B vitamins also help maintain optimal mitochondrial function in Leydig cells, where testosterone production occurs, and support the methylation process necessary for steroid hormone metabolism. Additionally, B vitamin deficiencies can lead to elevated homocysteine levels, which may impair testicular function and reduce testosterone production efficiency. Selenium. Selenium functions as a critical component of glutathione and other processes that protect the delicate machinery in testicular Leydig cells from oxidative damage. Adequate selenium status is necessary for facilitating cholesterol transport into mitochondria for testosterone production. Omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids, primarily EPA and DHA, are vital for maintaining optimal cell membrane composition in testicular tissues, which directly affects the efficiency of hormone receptor binding and enzyme activity. These essential fatty acids help reduce inflammation in the gonads, which can otherwise interfere with testosterone production and sperm quality. Adequate omega-3 intake helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and supports the transport mechanisms necessary for delivering cholesterol to cells for testosterone synthesis. Number 3, stress and cortisol. We already know the effect stress has on other parts of our body, and the process in the testosterone factory are no different. Stress interferes with many of the building blocks needed to produce testosterone. Needless to say, meditation and other de-stressing activities are crucial to testosterone production. Number 4, heat. Yep, your testicles prefer to be cool. This is why they are designed to hang down away from your body. Bottom line, if your testosterone factory gets overheated, production will suffer. You see a lot of guys online doing ice baths, which could have a positive effect, but the thing that probably helps most long term is not wearing tight underwear, rather boxers to let the dudes hang low. 5. EMFs. Some laboratory studies have shown that electromagnetic field exposure may affect testosterone production in Leydig cells. While some research suggests potential effects on Leydig cell function, the evidence is not conclusive enough to establish definitive harm. They say more rigorous long-term human studies are needed to determine if typical EMF exposure levels pose real health risks to reproductive function. But like I said earlier, I wouldn't wait for the scientific consensus that may never come. And you should be mindful of your EMF exposure. Now, here are some of the things that we can do to increase our factory output. Exercise. At the gonadal level, regular resistance training improves insulin sensitivity and reduces inflammation, creating a more favorable environment for Leydig cell function and testosterone synthesis. Ashwagandha. At the gonadal level, ashwagandha also appears to enhance Leydig cell function and sperm quality, suggesting direct testicular benefits beyond its stress-reducing effects. Ashwagandha may improve the sensitivity of testicular tissue to LH stimulation, thereby optimizing the final step of testosterone synthesis in the testes. Forskolin. Forskolin primarily works at the gonadal level by increasing CAMP levels in testicular tissue. Elevated CAMP is crucial for LH signal transduction in Leydig cells and directly stimulates enzymes responsible for testosterone synthesis. This mechanism makes forskolin particularly effective at optimizing the testosterone response to LH stimulation. Forskolin not only enhances testosterone production, but also activates hormone-sensitive lipase, promoting fat metabolism and creating a more favorable hormonal environment for muscle growth and testosterone production. So now, if your factory is able to fend off xenoestrogen attacks, has all the raw material it needs, and is producing testosterone, it's time to ship it out to the awaiting cells. And this leg of the journey is especially treacherous for our newly made alpha hormone. Step 6, the treacherous road between the gonads and the waiting cells. The journey from the testicles to the individual cell receptor sites is a dangerous one for testosterone, and only a tiny fraction of it will ever make it to the androgen receptors on your cells. Here's what happens to your testosterone once it's produced. Testosterone leaves the factory and enters the bloodstream by diffusing out of the Leydig cells into the capillaries that surround them. Once testosterone hits the bloodstream, it's faced with the first danger. Danger number one, sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG. As soon as our alpha hormone leaves the gonads and starts its journey through the bloodstream, about half of it gets gobbled up and tightly bound to a hungry protein called sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG, that has a strong affinity for sex hormones like testosterone and estrogen. Often I refer to sex hormone binding globulin as the sex globulin, because, well, it acts like a goblin gobbling up sex hormones. So the sex globulin grabs and holds on to testosterone, making it biologically inactive and not able to carry out its mission and deliver its alpha program to your waiting cells. Think of the sex globulin as a protein that acts like a taxi for your hormones. It picks up testosterone and carries it around in your bloodstream. The problem is, when testosterone is riding in the taxi, bound to SHBG, your body can't actually use it. This means that you could have normal testosterone levels on a blood test, but if your SHBG is too high, very little of that testosterone is actually available for your body to use. So you will have the undesirable symptoms of low testosterone. And of course, if pesky xenoestrogens are around, they can increase the levels of sex hormone binding globulin. But the sex globulin isn't all bad. It acts like your body's hormone management system, providing several important health benefits. It works as a stabilizing force that prevents your hormone levels from swinging wildly up and down throughout the day, while also protecting these hormones from being broken down too quickly by your liver. The sex globulin also contributes to better overall health by improving how your body responds to insulin, which helps prevent diabetes, supports cardiovascular health, and potentially reduces the risk of certain hormone-related cancers by controlling how much active hormone is available at any given time. Think of it as a quality control system that helps maintain optimal hormone balance rather than just as a protein that stills your testosterone, even though that's pretty much what it does. And unless you have low levels, which are usually caused by bigger problems like liver disease, obesity, diabetes, and hypothyroidism, most likely low levels of the sex globulin are not the issue. Also, I'd like to reiterate that hormone modulation is a serious endeavor and should only be done after you have tested your hormones and feel confident you know what you are doing. And if you do not, connect with someone who does. Okay, back to our story. So right away, as much as half or more of your precious alpha hormone is kidnapped and held hostage by the sex globulin, taking it out of the game, and nearly all of the testosterone that's left behind binds to and hitches a ride with the most abundant protein in your blood called albumin. But unlike the sex globulin that holds testosterone tight, the albumin bond with testosterone is weaker, so the hormone is able to break away and finish the mission in most cases. This is why albumin-bound testosterone is generally considered bioactive. A tiny amount of testosterone, somewhere around 1 to 4%, is able to escape these two proteins and circulate freely. This testosterone is known as free testosterone. While your total testosterone level is important, it is the bioavailable testosterone, which is your free testosterone plus the albumin-bound testosterone, that reflects the amount of readily available testosterone to act on your tissues. As we can see, the sex globulin levels can significantly influence how much free and bioavailable testosterone you have, whether your total testosterone production is normal or not. So here are some ways to tame the sex globulin. In the audio, I'm going to go over these quickly, but you can always refer to the transcript for reference and the resource section for detailed lists. Supplements: Tongkat Ali, boron, magnesium, zinc, vitamin D, stinging nettle root. Lifestyle modifications: increased protein intake, moderate fat consumption, resistance training, maintaining healthy weight, adequate carbohydrate intake, managing stress, improving sleep quality, limiting alcohol consumption, addressing thyroid issues, and avoiding overtraining, because excessive endurance exercise can raise SHBG. Now we have testosterone in three different states traveling through your bloodstream, and it's about to encounter the next threat, and it's a big one. Danger number two, big fat aromatase. While the sex globulin gobbles up about 60% of your testosterone, it also feasts on about 40% of your estradiol. But unlike testosterone, the estrogen estradiol is a fierce competitor and a skilled survivor in the battle for your manhood. Understanding the role of estradiol in the body is of paramount importance for the aspiring testosterone warrior. Estrogen is actually the name of a group of molecules like estradiol, which is the dominant estrogen in guys. And while I portray estrogen as an evil character in our story, she does play some crucial roles in men, like contributing to our bone health, libido regulation, and brain function. The problem with estrogen is that it's everywhere, and most of the industrial chemicals that are getting into our bodies are estrogenic and are feminizing us, while none have an androgenic effect. It would be great if we could chug some BPA-laced water out of a plastic bottle and have it increase our testosterone, help us put on some lean muscle, slim down the waistline, and give Big Jim and the twins a nice little boost. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that, and everything is trying to feminize you. I'm going to say that one more time. Everything is trying to feminize you. Again, you are in a battle for not only your masculinity, but your health, which is why you need to adopt the testosterone warrior mindset and save yourself in more ways than one. Estrogen dominance has created a health crisis in the male population today, and it's serious. You see, testosterone and estrogen are both cholesterol-derived steroid hormones with a similar basic framework, but the difference in their function is profound. This is important because while testosterone is a masculinizing hormone, estradiol is a feminizing hormone. The ironic thing is that while testosterone is responsible for producing things like big muscles and aggressive attitude, it is a weakling as far as hormones go. Estradiol, on the other hand, is very hardy and enjoys harassing testosterone whenever she can. I like to think of estradiol as testosterone's mean big sister that is a constant threat to his existence. Not only is estradiol a bully, but she has a like-minded army of nearly identical molecules we've already encountered numerous times on this journey called xenoestrogens that work day and night to make life tough for your alpha hormone. But estradiol has another powerful ally in this battle for your masculinity, a fat-loving enzyme that goes by the name of aromatase. All it takes is one enzymatic reaction from aromatase on your testosterone to convert your male hormone over to estradiol's army of feminizing molecules, a process that transgenders your alpha hormone into a beta, metaphorically speaking anyway. Here's how it works. Testosterone is biosynthesized into estrogen via the aromatase enzyme, which is primarily found in adipose tissue, the technical term for body fat. Simply put, the fatter you are, especially around the waist, the more real estate you have to provide shelter, aid, and comfort to the mischievous enzyme that converts your manly testosterone into ladylike estradiol. As you gain more fat, aromatase makes the estradiol that influences the fat to make more aromatase, that converts more of your testosterone to estradiol, that then creates favorable conditions for adding more fat. You get the idea. It's self-perpetuating. Yep, it means that guys with big beer bellies are full of feminizing estrogen that is slowly demasculinizing them. And belly fat loves aromatase so much that it harbors it, so there is always a plentiful reinforcing army of estradiol. This is known as the hypogonadal obesity cycle. Through aromatase activity, increased levels of estradiol result in even higher levels of estradiol and reduced levels of testosterone. And while it's very easy to synthesize estradiol from testosterone, estradiol is never converted to testosterone. No mechanism in the body exists for it. It's as if your testosterone is a warrior fighting an uphill battle to keep you healthy and manly. Once your alpha hormone is converted to estradiol, it can betray you and act as a feedback signal by binding to estrogen receptors in the hypothalamus and pituitary, inhibiting GnRH and LH release. This in turn lowers testosterone production. And if that wasn't bad enough, excess estrogen goes on to decrease your free testosterone levels even further by increasing sex hormone binding globulin. This feminizing mechanism creates, shelters, and distributes estrogen, while at the same time attacks testosterone and tries to keep him from fulfilling the ever-challenging mission of attaching to and activating androgen receptor sites. Do you see how this really is a war for your masculinity? It's almost as if the game is rigged against guys. There are so many forces trying to prevent our alpha hormone from being assembled and then take it out of commission once it leaves the gonad factory. Is it any wonder men today have declining testosterone? How to battle aromatase? Losing weight should be a top priority here. Remember, the bigger the belly, the more aromatase you'll harbor for converting your testosterone into estradiol. Here are some research-backed supplements that target aromatase: zinc, chrysin, grapeseed extract, white button mushrooms, DIM, an extract from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower, resveratrol. Also, regular exercise reduces aromatase activity, especially resistance training. We still have a long ways to go on our journey, and many challenges ahead, so let's keep going. The bioavailable testosterone remaining that hasn't been converted into estradiol or held hostage by the sex globulin continues its journey to the cell, where it's about to meet its next challenge, androgen receptor antagonists. Step 7, arrival at the androgen receptor. Testosterone finally arrives at the cell's androgen receptor. Think of this as a lock that only testosterone, or DHT, can unlock. Testosterone connecting to the receptor is like turning a key that activates the receptor. If this process is successful, the activated receptor travels to the cell's nucleus and attaches to specific spots on your DNA, turning on specific genes, causing the cell to make proteins and create masculine effects in your body. Unfortunately, what happens sometimes is that when testosterone arrives to the androgen receptor, there is something already there blocking the keyhole. Those things are called androgen receptor antagonists, and more often than not today, the most notorious receptor squatters are a gang of villains we've already discussed, endocrine disrupting chemicals, or EDCs. Certain EDCs, like BPA, can bind to androgen receptors and block testosterone from activating them, interfering with normal androgen signaling. What makes BPA such a sinister endocrine toxin is because of its structural similarity to steroid hormones, making it able to interact with both estrogen and androgen receptors. BPA weakly binds to the androgen receptor, preventing testosterone from binding and activating it. As a result, the receptor becomes inert in the sense that it doesn't trigger gene transcription or normal androgen effects. Are you starting to see what your top priority should be if you want truly healthy testosterone? The EDCs like BPA are attacking your testosterone from brain to cell receptor. If our brave warrior hormone is able to find an empty receptor, it enters the final stage of our journey, but the dangers are still far from over. Step 8, the androgen receptor signaling process. When testosterone, or its stronger cousin, DHT, enters a cell, it acts like a key fitting into a molecular lock. This binding causes the receptor to change shape, kind of like how a lock mechanism moves when you turn the right key. This change kicks off heat shock proteins that were previously keeping the receptor turned off, essentially activating the system. Once activated, these receptors team up in pairs called dimers that travel from the main part of the cell into the nucleus. Inside the nucleus, these receptor pairs find specific spots on your DNA called androgen response elements. Think of these as parking spots that are perfectly designed for these receptors to dock onto. When the receptors park at these DNA spots, they call in other helper proteins to start a process that's like turning on a factory assembly line. The assembly line reads the genetic instructions and creates mRNA messenger molecules that get sent out to build specific proteins. These proteins are responsible for all the things we associate with testosterone, and that would be the end of our story, but unfortunately, there are also potential complications here that we need to talk about. The dangers here that could prevent our cells from receiving their masculinizing program are at the epigenetic level. Think of epigenetics as software updates that change how your genetic hardware operates. These modifications don't change your DNA sequence, but can dramatically affect how genes are expressed. First, DNA methylation. DNA methylation is one of the most important epigenetic roadblocks. When certain regions of DNA, particularly in the promoter areas near androgen receptor genes, get tagged with methyl groups, it's like putting tape over those genetic parking spots we discussed earlier. This methylation can silence androgen receptor genes or the target genes that testosterone is supposed to activate. Endocrine-disrupting chemicals, chronic stress, and poor diet can all increase harmful DNA methylation patterns that reduce testosterone's effectiveness. Histone modifications. Histones are like spools that DNA wraps around, and chemical modifications to these spools can make genes more or less accessible. Certain histone marks can make chromatin, the DNA protein complex, so tightly packed that even when testosterone successfully binds to its receptor and reaches the nucleus, it can't access its target genes. Factors like chronic inflammation, obesity, and exposure to, are you ready? Yep, EDCs, can promote these restrictive histone modifications. And last, we have microRNAs. MicroRNAs add yet another regulatory layer by acting like molecular scissors that can cut up the mRNA messages before they're translated into proteins. Even if testosterone successfully initiates gene transcription, specific microRNAs can intercept and destroy the resulting mRNA, preventing the final protein products from being made. Stress, poor sleep, and certain medications can alter microRNA expression patterns in ways that interfere with androgen signaling. This explains why some guys with adequate testosterone levels still experience symptoms of low T. It's because their cellular machinery isn't properly responding due to these epigenetic modifications. As you can see, danger and complications lurk around every corner on testosterone's journey from your hypothalamus to the point it enters the nucleus and expresses its masculinizing program your cell is waiting for so you can see some results in the gym. It's easy to see why testosterone levels are plummeting in modern-day men and why targeting just one or even two of the mechanisms in the production and delivery process can have limited success. If you notice, all of these epigenetic changes to your DNA are caused by lifestyle factors. Inflammation, stress, obesity, poor sleep, and of course, xenoestrogens are all things that can be regulated through lifestyle choices. And that, my friend, is the secret to all of this. Adopting a lifestyle that avoids all of these testosterone-damaging influences we've just talked about and embraces pro-testosterone habits. It's well known why Western guys have plummeting testosterone, and it's well known how to correct it. But here's the kicker. It takes fortitude and initiative to break old habits and adopt new ones, especially when we are trying to make several lifestyle changes at once. And speaking of lifestyle habits, eating a pro-testosterone diet is a no-brainer. So let's check that out.